to the AmeriChicks with Molly Vogt and Kim Munson, where we dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. So check out our website, AmeriChicks.com. That's where we are on Facebook and Twitter as well. I had a great conversation with David Horowitz during the first two segments. Excited about these next two segments. We will be talking with Selwyn Duke. He is a traditionalist media personality. His work has been published widely online and in print, appearing in outlets such as The Hill, The American Conservative, WorldNet Daily, and The American Thinker. He's on radio. Just really excited to have this conversation because he had recently written a piece that we cannot MAGA. We cannot make America great again until we do MAMA, and that is make America moral again. What do you mean by that, Selwyn Duke? Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Good to be with you. Well, what I mean by that very simply is that we Americans love to talk about freedom. And like everyone else, I like having legitimate freedoms. But you have to remember that the founding fathers didn't talk about freedom in exclusion. They talked about how virtue was a prerequisite for freedom.
Yep.
And I can quote here, for instance, Edmund Burke. He was not a founding father, but he was a contemporary. He was a British philosopher. He said, "It is ordained in the eternal constitution of things that men of intemperate minds cannot be free. Their passions forge their fetters." Our second president, John Adams, said in 1798, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. Yep. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Now, today, though, we just talk about the liberty. Well, the thing is, though, not talking about morality and just talking about liberty is a bit like saying, well, I want health. Everyone wants health, but are you willing to do what's necessary to have good health? You're willing to eat well and exercise. And the bottom line is a toddler wants freedom, but a toddler cannot have freedom and negotiate civilization without hurting himself or others. So that's the problem we have nowadays. We're putting the cart before the horse. And as I said, the founding fathers talked a lot about virtue. We can't even define it anymore. And virtue refers to that set of good moral habits. Instead, nowadays, we talk about values, and that's pretty meaningless. That's a term of secularism, because the truth is that it's not good by definition, the term values. It just refers to things that people happen to believe. Mother Teresa had values, but so did Adolf Hitler. It's absolutely meaningless. So we have to get back to talking about morality. If we don't, our whole republic is for naught. We cannot long exist as a free people enjoying legitimate freedoms if there's no morality in the populace and the electorate. And that's the situation that we have now. And unfortunately, we're becoming very, very divided as well. I discussed that in my piece. I talk about how, unfortunately, we're heading for one of two outcomes, either tyranny or dissolution. Now, the reason why I say that is very simple. As people become more, or you want to say something, go ahead.
Well, no, I just, if those are the two outcomes, tyranny or dissolution, you're saying dissolution of America.
Breaking it up.
And if America fails, there's no beacon on a hill anywhere for people to go.
But I agree with you, because this is exactly what happened during the Great Revolution. I mean, we had to dissolve ourselves from Great Britain to get out from underneath their big government and their taxes and all of that, and not allowing us representation. It basically, we saw them as a tyranny. So I agree with what you're saying, Selwyn, and I think it's a great job. And also when you're saying we've got to be moral again and talking about values and virtues, they're not teaching it in schools anymore. And so the only thing that what we need to do is pass it down from family to family and friend to friend, which is kind of where we are at this point. It's a grassroots place that we find ourselves in for the next solution. But go ahead, Selwyn. Let's keep going with that.
Okay, yeah. And I also want to give people something positive to hold on to, so I can talk about how you can address morality, actually, in just a moment. Remind me if I forget. But I was saying we're moving towards one of those two outcomes, either tyranny or dissolution. Now, why do I say that? Well, as a people becomes more divided, those are the only things that can happen. It's sort of as if you're in a family. If you live in or under the same roof with a lot of different families, and you all have very, very different senses of virtue, and and you disagree profoundly on very basic matters, you're not really going to get along well. And the only way you're going to stay together under that one roof is if there's some iron fist to keep you there. Otherwise, you're just going to go your separate ways. And that's the situation that confronts us now. We're divided, not just ethnically and religiously and racially, but also philosophically, also ideologically. As I said in my piece, we speak different languages, not just literally, but figuratively. And the truth is, if you take the so-called right and left, many of its members or their members actually hate each other. I mean, if this were a marriage, we would have gotten divorced a long, long time ago.
True.
And another thing, another analogy that you could use here is you could say, well, it's sort of like take China and the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago. They coexisted. But China is still around. The Roman Empire is long gone. Now, why is that? Well, it's because China was and is a true nation in that it's united through having one people, one language, one culture, and also pretty much one religion, although they're very atheistic now. The Roman Empire was just a conglomeration of disparate peoples held together via the iron fist of tyranny. Therefore, once that iron fist weakened to a point where it couldn't hold them together, the whole empire just dissolved. Now, you have to ask, today, what are we coming to resemble? China more or the Roman Empire more? The answer is very obvious. We're starting to resemble the Roman Empire, and we've allowed it to happen. We didn't become something like that because we conquered a lot of disparate peoples. We've become something resembling that because we have balkanized ourselves, and we're starting to conquer ourselves that way by taking in unassimilable peoples, encouraging people not to assimilate, by pushing multiculturalism, by embracing moral relativism, which causes everyone to walk to the beat of a different drummer, and that causes you to become balkanized ideologically and philosophically. But I don't want to be all negative, so like I said, I want to give people something to hold on to. How do you encourage morality in yourself and in your children? Okay, it's very simple. If you want to teach something, let's say tennis, you have to understand the principles of tennis, right? It's a prerequisite.
Right.
It's the same thing with morality, but we don't understand the principles of morality anymore because they're not taught. They are those virtues that I mentioned. They have been defined over the ages. You've got various ones. You've got chastity, charity, diligence, honesty, what have you, humility. You understand these principles of morality, and then you can encourage them in your children. You model them. That's the most important thing. You teach them. And then, of course, you also try to inculcate them in yourself. That's very, very important because remember, not that I like to quote Michael Jackson, not my favorite person, but he said something very true in one of his songs. He said, if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change, the man in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, very true. And I also think here of the great, great philosopher, G.K. Chesterton, one of the most brilliant men who's ever lived. He once was commissioned to write an article on what was wrong with the world. And as the story goes, you know what he wrote in the article? Me. Me, one word. And this was a man who was probably very, very holy, a much better man than I am, but that was what he wrote. And he was pointing out that we're all a problem because we're all sinners, we're all flawed, and we have to try to make ourselves better. And if we do that, we'll make the country better. And if we don't do that, again, it's all for naught. You can't have freedom without morality.
Selwyn Duke, this brings up a thought that there is a difference between, like, the founders of America. They had introspection. What we see with the radical progressive activists that are trying to tear down America and the American idea is there is no introspection on their actions. They take no responsibility for their actions. They almost sometimes I think that they think that they are infallible, that they're elitist. There's no need for introspection. And I think that's been one of the great things that has made America great is the introspection, the conversation with oneself, the conversation with one's colleagues on how can we make this better. Instead, their religions have now become climate change, all these things that they try to divide us, the identity politics. There is no introspection in those religions at all. Your comment?
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, when we're talking about leftists, how do you really define them? How do you really explain them? I often explain them as people who've grown up chronologically, but not really morally and intellectually. The truth is that they're overgrown children, and you see that in their behavior. They can't delay gratification. They have temper tantrums when they don't get their way, as we see occurring after the 2016 election. And the truth is, part of that is not really being all that introspective. And the problem is that because they're moral relativists, you see, that really means moral relativism, that you buy into this idea that what we call morality is determined by the time, place, and the people, and therefore doesn't really exist. Only human preference does. And when you descend into that morass of relativism, what happens is you don't have the truth to use as your yardstick for making decisions. All you really have left are your feelings, is emotion. And that's why liberals are so emotion-oriented. Now, the problem is when you're ruled by your emotions, that's it. There's no intellectualism there. There's no analysis there. There's no reason there. Whatever your emotions say goes. And that's the situation they're in. They're just people who say, I feel this way, and that's it. And if you don't agree, you're bad. And I've actually encountered that with leftists. I mean, I remember years ago, I was having a discussion, and this one was cordial because I knew them, about something with some leftists. And they concluded just by saying, well, this is just the way we feel, and that's it. So it didn't matter the intellectual arguments I had mounted. They all fell on deaf ears because they were simply operating based on emotion. And that was that. And again, passion governs, and she never governs wisely, as Ben Franklin said. And passion is not governing the leftists wisely, and that's why if they take control, we're in big trouble.
Someone, Duke, let's go to break and continue this conversation. We want to address morality. Is it okay if we decide other people's morality? That's been one of the things that is like, don't judge me.
So we're going to go to break, and we come back more with Selwyn Duke, his great article, America Can't, From Midterms to End Times. We can't make America great again until we make it moral again. And so we've got to figure out how to do that. Stick with the AmeriChicks on KLZ. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. We dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left, agree or disagree. Let's have a conversation. We're talking with Selwyn Duke regarding his excellent piece, We Can't Make America Great Again Until We Make America Moral Again.
So, Selwyn Duke, your article, everybody check it out on the AmeriChicks Facebook page, America Can't, From Midterms to End Times. You talk about, you know, the truly great disasters come like a thief in the night, and this past midterm was a big wake-up call for a lot of us, I think. We've become concerned about what's happening in our country. We're not sure why there are so many people that were voted into office, especially at the federal level, that are so-called socialists. What in the world has our country become? America was based on freedom and individual freedom and working hard for ourselves and opportunity, not a handout. Kim, you had a great question that you were talking about over the break. Let's bring that forward to someone.
Yeah,
see what you think.
So, Selwyn, you mentioned that we can't make America great again until we make America moral again. But, you know, I think in the 60s, the 70s, it started to move to, you know, you have your truth, I have my truth, you know, I live my life, you live your life, you know, you can't judge me. And, you know, so we started to see, you know, I think assault on morality, if you will. But how can imperfect people hold each other accountable morally when and not be the nosy neighbor next door that doesn't see the you know, what's going on in her life? She's only looking at the neighbor across the fence saying what they need to do. So how do you match that up?
Yeah, well, certainly you don't want that nosy neighbor who doesn't hold himself to the same standards that he holds everyone else to. But you see, there's a fundamental misunderstanding here, and it's this. We have this idea that freedom means freedom from social codes as well. Sometimes we have that idea. That's not true. You've got really two sets of laws in civilization. You've got the governmental laws, then you've got the laws of the social sphere. And the latter have always existed in every single civilization. And the smaller the social sphere laws become, the greater in number the governmental sphere laws become. Because obviously, as people stop governing themselves, society stops governing itself, and morality starts breaking down, government government is going to step into the breach to compensate. Now, I said that in every civilization, you've had social laws. If you go to early America, you have to remember, if you transgressed against morality, you could be warned out of town. That was actually a term. Okay, you could be ostracized, you could be scorned. So it's not a situation where, well, yeah, you just do whatever you want to do, whatever works for you. If it feels good, do it. No. I mean, there was a common morality. And the problem today is that because we've descended into moral relativism, we don't have that, and we don't want to hear about morality. But like it or not, we're going to have social codes. The question is, are they going to be the right ones or not? The dominant social code today is what? It's political correctness. Mm-hmm. That's what we have. If you transgress against that, if you speak the truth, a politically incorrect truth, your career can be ruined. It can be ended. You can be scorned and ostracized. So it's not that we don't have these social codes. It's that now they're the wrong ones. And part of the reason for that is that we've yielded the social sphere to the left. And the reason why we've yielded the social sphere to the left is because of this mentality that many conservative and libertarian Americans have that basically says, well, we don't want to bother with that because we don't want to tread on anyone else's turf. But as G.K. Chesterton said, to quote him again, he said, the big problem of conservatism is in believing that if you leave things alone, they remain the same. No, if you leave a thing alone, it becomes subject to a torrent of change.
Wow.
And this applies, yeah, this applies to the social sphere. We left it alone, and the left seized control of it. They did that because they seized control of academia, the media, entertainment. Those are the three arms of the culture shapers. And now they just control the social sphere, like I said, through political correctness. And it's just like with governmental laws. If you don't control the government and determine what the laws are going to be, because you're going to have some governmental laws, guess what? Someone else is going to determine what they're going to be. So as I put it in my writings, I say, if you don't control the culture, the culture controls you. It's one or the other.
So, Selwyn Duke, what on earth do we do? You just mentioned that the left has taken, and I want to say radical progressive activists, because that's really what has happened with the Democrat Party. They've taken that over. They lean really far to the left on the political spectrum. What are we to do? Because they have taken over academia. They do have mainstream media. They're heads now of many of the corporations. They've taken over many of the mainline churches. What on earth can we do? Because it seems pretty daunting.
It is a very daunting task. Like I said earlier, first of all, inculcate virtue in yourself and in your children. Then there are some other things we can do. We can try to control politics on a local level, maybe even a state level if we live in a very conservative state. And then what you have to realize is you've got to gird your loins, as they say, for the fight, because a big fight is coming. The left eventually is going to seize control of all three branches, I shouldn't say all three branches of government, although I think they will do that, but certainly they'll eventually seize control of the two chambers of the legislative branch and the executive branch. And once they have that power, they are going to clamp down hard. And the reason for that is very simple. They incorrectly perceive us as tyrannical. They call us fascists and Nazis and haters and bigots, and they say we're a clear and present danger to the republic. So once they seize power, they're going to, in their minds, have an excuse to act that way because they'll believe that they're just following the precedent that we've set. But what we can do is try to seize control of politics on our local level if we live in a conservative area. And then if the federal government hands down an unconstitutional dictate, you know what? You just nullify it. You say, no, we're not going to abide by that because it's unconstitutional. This is another area where conservatives, because they're conservative, which means defensive ultimately, are found wanting. Thomas Jefferson said nullification was the proper remedy for all federal usurpation of states' powers. But we're found wanting in that area. The left does it. What do you think sanctuary cities are? What do you think the defiance of federal drug laws is? Okay, and I don't believe in federal drug laws, but that's not the point. Anytime the left sees something that it really does not like, it just nullifies it, although it doesn't use that term. But when that happens to us on the right, we just start talking about, well, it's the law. Yeah. I mean, with the courts, when they made that 2015 ridiculous marriage decision, which was an overstepping of the judiciary's bounds, Obergefell v. Hodges, what did we say? Well, it's the law. That's it. We have to implement it. No. A court ruling is not the law. It's an opinion by some black-robed lawyers. You don't abide by something that's patently unconstitutional. You nullify it like the left does. And that's what we have to do. We have to have a fighting spirit. We have to stop being conservative, as in defense. We have to start being radical in the way the founding fathers were. The founding fathers did not call themselves conservatives, mind you. They were revolutionaries.
Yep.
Wow.
I agree. 100%. We've been wimps. They've been asleep at the wheel and afraid to push back. And so this is good time, because it is time to get up and to fight right now. Founding fathers did it, and it is our time.
So very quickly, right. We have about a minute. So how would you define morality?
Okay, well, a lot of people will not like this, but if I were going to define it to a little child, I would say morality means God's rules. That's what morality means. Morality refers to absolute truth, to something universal, eternal, and immutable. That means unchanging. Morality is not just what society says. No, that happens to be man's opinion, and this is something that we often confuse nowadays. And a lot of people, again, they don't want to hear this, but because it places burdens on them, it places a responsibility, because it means we can't write our own ticket morally. We have to abide by these eternal rules, that eternal constitution that Edmund Burke spoke of. And, of course, people don't like that. The little child inside of everyone says, well, this is how I want to live my life, and I don't want to be told what to do. But, unfortunately, the founding fathers did not adopt that position. If they had, they never could have formed this republic. No,
wow.
They talked about virtue, which is something absolute and unchangeable and eternal.
Well, Selwyn Duke, thank you so much. We always end the show with a quote. I think you're going to love this one by Judith Martin. She said, the invention of the teenager was a mistake. Once you identify a period of life in which people get to stay out late but don't have to pay taxes, naturally, no one wants to live any other way. So, Selwyn Duke, thank you so much for joining the Mayor Chicks.
Thank you, and God bless you and your audience.
Thank you so, and God bless you, too. This is the AmeriChicks. Check out our website. Check out Facebook and Twitter as well. We've got Selwyn's article there. You can see it. Very smart guy. A lot of good things to think about. You know, it's not over till it's over, till the fat lady sings in this country. We can't fight. We will fight. We won't give up. So God bless you all. God bless America, and we'll talk to you on Monday. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.